Welcome to Not Enough Champagne, a podcast that has realised that it can feel again. My name's Corey Hazelhurst, and my partner in propaganda is Steve Haynes.
Hey, Corey.
And now, Steve, we've been recording now for 2.5 years, and we thought we were grizzled veterans of the political podcasting world. We didn't think it was possible to have strong reactions to events. We didn't think we could feel things. We thought it was now impossible to be surprised by anything. But on Friday, we had quite a big surprising development. So surprising, we've recorded a midweek shot for the first time in quite a while, because we're going to talk about Johnson's resignation. No, not that Johnson's resignation.
The other Johnson.
No, not that Johnson, the other one.
Yeah, there are too many Johnsons.
There are. This isn't Lyndon Johnson, who is obviously the best Johnson. But
no matter what the World Cup of Johnsons on Twitter says.
Indeed, it's not The Rock. But we are going to talk about Joe Johnson's resignation. We're going to talk about what Jeremy Corbyn has said about another referendum, and just very, very briefly give a state of play on things as we see them. Talk about what Joe Johnson actually said, Steve. In a nutshell, he resigned as a government minister because he thinks that there should be a people's vote on the final Brexit deal. Where would you put this on the political earthquake-o-meter?
See, I'm a bit torn. I kind of want to give it like a 7 or a 7.5, but I think there are some factors in this which I think lower it down to maybe about a 6.5. So it's significant, it's noticeable. But it's not necessarily tearing down the chimney yet.
Now, what he said is, the UK needs to pause and reflect before doing something irrevocably stupid over Brexit. Says that we need to have another referendum because what is being offered by May's deals fell spectacularly short of what was promised, and that to not have another vote would be a democratic travesty, and that we face a choice between vassalage under May's deal and chaos without a deal.
Stark and very strong words coming out of Joe Johnson in his resignation statement. This is clearly a man who is not happy with how things are going. And in many ways, I think it probably is a fair statement of the current situation. The Chequers deal does, in many ways, just tie us to the European Union, but without any say in its rules. And there would certainly be chaos if there was a no-deal Brexit. If for no other reason than, hell, no preparations have been made for it. There is, I think, his statement is a fair reflection of reality.
I think we're stepping up our preparations, because now Dominic Raab now understands that the Dover-Calais border is important. So on that stage, I think we are, but we'll be ready for a no-deal, I reckon, around about the year 5000.
Yeah, I think that's about right. By which point, Dominic Raab will have realised that as an island, we are actually reliant on ships bringing in products and produce to us. It's because we don't have a land border with anywhere. This man is the Brexit secretary.
We are incredibly screwed. I think it's very, very, very significant. I would put it certainly higher than 6. I genuinely didn't think I could be surprised. But when you sit back and think about how far we've come in the debate, if we'd have said at the start of the year that a government minister would resign and call for another referendum, we would have been laughed out of town. We would have been said that we were foolish. But I think what really has started to happen over the last couple of weeks is the ground has really shifted, I think, in favour. Not yet decisively, but it's definitely shifting towards the prospect of another vote, because we've seen a huge march of 700,000 people a couple of weeks ago through central London, the biggest march since the Iraq war. We've seen more and more polling which suggests that Labour MPs electorally should come out in favour of it, and now we've seen one or two Tories come out of it, and the first government minister as well to come out. And It does feel like there's a proper shift, doesn't it?
There does absolutely feel like there is a kind of a shift happening. I think there is something afoot for definite. But what I would say is, I feel like the only reason I kind of gave it a 6.5 rather than anything higher and therefore, you know, more significant, is that ultimately Johnson, and nobody really, to my knowledge, has actually come out and said what that vote should be on. So, like, clearly based on the insinuation of Johnson's statement is that the options are vassalage of Chequers, basically, chaos of a no deal, neither of which is acceptable to him, clearly, and therefore a third option is needed. Now, the only third option we have, other than negotiating another set of options with the EU, that's not the Chequers deal or what the government is planning to do, is remain or return, however you want to pitch it or phrase it. But he's not come out and said that. If he'd come out and said that, I'd have been much more inclined to give this a 7 or an 8. As it is significant, but no one, and I do mean this, no one, as far as I can tell, even among the Open Europe and People's Vote supporters, have actively said, yes, we want Remain to be on the ballot. They've all been very, quite quiet on that front, and it's all about just kind of giving people a final say. The implication being that obviously Remain should
I think the idea is that Remain is on an option. I mean, that Keir Starmer literally got a standing ovation for saying that. That's political tactics, I assume, is it's good to say you want the final say, but the implication is that it is between staying in or May's deal. Isn't it?
Yeah, probable. But the issue there, though, is with all of this shift that's happening, like, the fact that they just still don't... A significant move like this, Johnson still doesn't feel like he can come out and say that. Says that, to me, from the perspective of, like, the people's vote as a vehicle for remaining in the EU, rejoining it, however you want to put it, it ain't there yet. So it's significant, but it's not a game changer.
But I suppose then the thing is, the Overton window is shifting. It's more a case of how far has it shifted. But we're going to see, I think, more and more shifts as we come over the coming months. And certainly, as a people's vote becomes more of a realistic possibility, we're going to see more people trying to set out a roadmap to how that might happen. And the Constitution Society have done that. And they've said that it'll take 22 weeks, essentially, to legislate for a new referendum. And I believe I'm right in saying the EU has said that there will be time done to allow the arrangements to happen. Maybe my favourite option would be either we remain in the EU or we have chaos under Ed Miliband, in which we have a no-deal Brexit, but Ed Miliband becomes Prime Minister.
That would be quite entertaining, but I somehow don't see that being an option.
That is a shame. The political implications of this are massive, not just in terms of the shift in debate, also because we have another pro-Remain rebel on the Tory benches. It's getting less and less likely that any deal May brings back she can get through Parliament.
Yeah, either the ERG and the Brexiteer Ultras vote it down because they're not happy with it, or the traitorous rebel scum that is Dominic Grieve and his merry band of fellows are going to vote it down. Because ultimately, there's no combination of things that... There's no deal, basically, that can be brought... Not by May, not by anybody, I don't think, that can unite the Tory party on this issue at the moment. And the only way anything gets through is with Labour's votes. And there's probably not going to be enough of Labour MPs who'd vote for it to get it through either.
No, I'm reminded of in 1972 when Ted Heath was trying to get the parliamentary votes to confirm Britain joining the EEC. The way that his chief whip, Francis Pym, got the vote through was he made it a free vote on the Tory benches because he knew there was no point in whipping and risking the big political catastrophe that a large rebellion would have. He thought, well, if we have a free vote, it means that that emboldens the pro-EEC Labour rebels who were on the benches, at the back benches at the time. And by making it a free vote, it also made it likely a Labour MP could vote to ratify the decision to join the EEC without voting against the government. So this works because I think 84 or 85, 90 Labour MPs, including pro-EEC types like John Smith, who was future leader, Roy Jenkins as well, voted to join. And that's how the motion passed. Now, that has to be May's... That has to be the gamble this time, that enough Labour MPs will vote for it, will vote for that deal. However, I don't think that's going to happen, partly because joining the EEC is a massive point of principle. There is no principle involved with May's deal. It is, to coin the phrase, a miserable little compromise to... There you go, obscure Lib Dem reference there. Hello, Mark, by the way. The chief whip, apparently Julian Smith, has identified 15 Labour rebels who might vote for a deal. I don't even think the number is as big as that. Without wanting to name names,
no,
it's probably more like... I would be surprised if it's 10. I think
there's about half a dozen.
Mm. And therefore, it's impossible. That May needs opposition votes. She's not going
to
get them.
Yeah, even if all of the 15 that Julian Smith seems to think would vote for the government's deal voted for it, still not enough to counteract the combination of the ERG and the Tory wets.
No, but you're very fond of saying that the Remain Tories always capitulate. Even if they do, the ERG still votes anything down, and the DUP as well.
Yeah, the DUP do not want... there's just no way this gets through.
No.
In any form. We're going to be going into this without a strong deal.
And this means...
Or a deal.
And what we have to do, I think, is say that the choice is not May's deal or no deal. The choice is May's deal, or we say to the people, well, the MPs have tried and they failed. Do you want to think again? Now, this week, with comically brilliant timing, Jeremy Corbyn gave an interview to Der Spiegel magazine, which is a German magazine. And he was asked whether or not he was in favour of another referendum. And what he said was that he wasn't really in favour. He doesn't really think there should be another vote. He thinks instead we should look at the reasons why people voted leave.
I talk about a political triangulation answer.
There's a lot of people who are now kind of hand-wringing and humming and hawing over Corbyn's position. And to be honest, I think a lot of it is really, really overblown. So point one, that's not Labour Party policy. Labour Party policy, as decided at conference a couple of months ago, was that we are not taking any action off the table. That includes the possibility of another referendum, which could have the chance with the option of staying in the EU. So of all the leaders I would hope would abide by democratically elected party policy, as chosen by members of conference, I would hope that in the end, Corbyn will go with what's party policy.
Heaven help him if he doesn't.
Second thing is, Stephen Bush, as usual, and some other people have been very, very good at talking about the arguments which are happening in Jeremy Corbyn's office in terms of what is the best thing to do for the party, strategically, tactically, morally, in terms of Brexit. What is our position in terms of, do we have a deal? Do we commit to a vote? What's our negotiating strategy? All that kind of stuff. And you've got, you could say, Seamus Milne and Andrew Murray on one side, who are very much the kind of Leaver side. But you've also got, in those reports, you've got Diane Abbott, who's been pushing the case for a new vote very, very strongly, according to the reports that have come out. I think also, although he's not said a lot publicly, I think John McDonnell is a canny enough politician to know that if there is a new election in 12 to 18 months, the only way that Labour wins that election is if they unambiguously become more pro-Remain and get off the fence. Because where Labour is not doing well in the polls, that's among Remainers rather than Leavers.
Specifically among younger voters. So in the 2017 general election, 58% of 18 to 24-year-olds thought Corbyn would make the best Prime Minister. Pretty good number. Today, that figure's down to about 34%. That's a significant drop. Now, granted, there might be all kinds of reasons for that, but the most preeminent among them, given that we know how rapidly pro-European the younger age demographics are, maybe they do not like the current way that Corbyn is handling Brexit. Again, maybe it's not enough to damage him politically yet, but it could be.
Well, there's been a lot of polling done in Labour seats suggesting that there's a majority of both Labour voters and voters generally supporting a people's vote. A lot of people have come out and poo-pooed this. I think Jenny Chapman, who's a shadow Brexit minister up in whose constituency is in Darlington, she's basically said, not quite as graphic as this, basically say it's rubbish. She talks to her constituents and doesn't think there's been much of a shift. Now, I think what's happening instead is, in terms of those kind of strident voices, both Leave and Remain, it has to be said, they're hardening. And if you were going to knock on someone's door, say you knock on someone's door, bloke answers the door, you say, are you in favour of a new referendum or are you interested in voting for Labour? They would tell you, bugger off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that happened a lot last year and meant that our voter ID data was a bit screwed up because we would mark that house down as against the people there aren't going to vote Labour. All right, the bloke might not vote Labour, but the children inside probably are. The wife inside certainly might be as well. So that shift to supporting a people's vote and another referendum, I think is happening with those same kind of people, those kind of silent Labour voters, who they are not going to necessarily answer the door. They're not going to be out and proud and out with their Union Jacks and EU flags calling for a new referendum. But they're the ones who are really quite scared about what's going on. And they're the ones whose opinion is shifting. And I don't think if you're an MP doing canvassing, and you could be as committed an activist, an MP is out on the doorstep every weekend talking to voters, they're the people you don't hit. And they are the voters you might not hear about until it's too late.
Quite possible.
That is it for this week. On Sunday, we have a new episode out, which is about why the BBC hates orangutans. It is a long story, listeners. Listen to us on Sunday and find out why. In the meantime, we have a website, which is notenoughchampagne.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/notenoughchampagne. And you follow us on Twitter at nochampagnepod. James Cram designed our logo. You can follow him on Twitter at James Cram. And Dave Depper produced our theme tune, Plucky Good Times. My Twitter handle is at paperbackwriter.
Mine's at acousticradical.
Happy plotting, everyone.